Ephesians 4. And unfortunately, we've come to anger management. I said, Lord, are you sure? Hey, what are you laughing at out there? Okay, my wife is laughing at me. Now, please do not ask anybody that's very close to me how I'm doing with anger management. Okay. But I said, Lord, are you sure you want us to hit on this one? And he said, yes. I said, okay, fine. But I thought this would be a good one for us and some practical helps and tips, and especially the Word of God and what it has for us. We're talking about anger management, Christian characteristics we've been going through on our midweek service. Now in Ephesians 4, verse 26, if you will, notice with me what the Bible says. It's interesting what the Bible says, isn't it, about certain topics and subjects. Notice what it says, though. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Now, we're going to look at this tonight. And in your notes, notice with me, our text is a series of commands. First one is, be ye angry. Well, the word for angry is in the imperative mood, meaning it's a command or a commandment. A second command follows, and it says, and sin not, making it clear that you can be angry without sinning, okay? Anger is not sinful, and we're going to dissect that a little bit this evening. So it's not sinful, but it will lead to sin unless properly dealt with. Two more commands follow this, and it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So if we do not deal correctly with our anger, the devil will get a foothold in our lives and wreak havoc. Now, not all anger is bad. Anger is an emotion and has its proper place and use. We are created in the image of God. Well, one of his emotions is anger. The great minister Jonathan Edwards, if you've heard of him, he preached a sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, this brought about one of the greatest revivals in all of history. You remember it. You go back in history and study the Great Awakening, it was called. And he started it literally with a message he entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It's very interesting to study that because he was very, very monotone. And they say he never looked up. He just kept his head down. And he had all of his sermons literally written out. He just literally read his sermon word for word, and then sin at the end, you're all under the wrath of God, and we're all, and that's what he did, the whole message. And he said he finally lifted his head up at the end of the sermon after about 45 minutes, and there was hundreds of people that came down to the altar, were praying, seeking God for repentance. Anyways, the anger of God, it stirred them, it opened their eyes up. Notice the next paragraph, that God expresses his anger many times in Scripture. Well, notice Psalm 2, verse 11. It says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Psalm 7, verse 11. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. We know that. Okay, so the Lord showed anger on several occasions during his earthly ministry. Well, go to Mark 3 and verse 5. Notice this. Interesting. Jesus, on several occasions, showed anger. And some people say, oh, how can he be the Son of God? How can he be the Messiah and show that type of rage or anger? Notice what it says. Thank you. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved. Why? For their hardness of hearts. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. It was restored. Why was he angry? Well, they had accused him. Who can forgive sins but God only? He was angry at their disbelief. He was angry at that. Now, later, you know, he goes to his hometown and or the province there, the area there, and he's, once again, why? Because they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't listen. Right? A prophet, he makes a great statement. A prophet's not without honor except in his own country and among his own kinfolk. And you probably realize that at the Thanksgiving table, maybe. Okay, John 2:13. Notice this verse. This is a good verse too. He showed his anger. And this is what he talks about. Notice, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And the next verse, do you have? And he found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, poured out the money changers, overthrew the tables, and said unto them, that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now, this is showing, and he was upset, wasn't he? He came in, have you ever seen the mess that pigeons and doves make and leave behind? And those sheep and ox, cows, chickens, a mess in the church. Imagine having them all coming right in the church. He was upset. He came over and he overthrew those tables. He kicked it out. He said, get out of here. We see in the Bible that Jesus showed anger on several occasions. Now, we can use anger for good. Anger for good. James 1, verse 19 and 20 talks a little bit about this. But our anger could be used in the right way. Our anger could be used for good things as we walk through and look at it. Now, we'll look at some of this in just a minute. But many foolish things are done because of anger. Look at Proverbs 14, 17. I have in your notes there, he that is soon angry, that's quickly angry, dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 29, 22. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. Notice that. Transgressions follow him, just abounding with him. You transgress against God, and you transgress against your fellow man. It's just angry all the time. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. So when we do get angry, let's ask ourselves some questions. Okay, the first one, am I right to be angry? Am I right to be angry? Letter A under that, notice, there is anger that is wrong, and there is anger that is right. Okay, first of all, look at the anger that's wrong, and it comes directly from self-centeredness or our selfish behavior. There is anger that's wrong. Well, what are they? Anger toward God for any reason. We should never be angry at God. Now, there's times when we're confused. Times we don't understand things, and again, you understand I'm preaching to myself tonight, as I say often. But you think about, there's anger towards God for some times, and people get upset, frustrated, mad. Why'd God allow that to happen? Why is God allowing this, or why did God do that? Some people are very legit in that, but we must be very careful and cautious that that does come back to an misunderstanding of who God is and his work in our lives. Secondly, anger because my selfish demands are not being met. Now, these are a lot of self-centered people in the world. Well, because God didn't give me that, you know, because God did this or that. And our prayer time just a few minutes ago talking about it. Some incident happened maybe in his life or something, and he got upset at God, right, for that. My demands are not being met. By the way, just remember this all the time. God owes you nothing. God owes us nothing. He paid the price for our sins. He saved us from eternal hell. And now what? He doesn't owe us a thing. And if you're like me, sometimes I go, God, well, I deserve that. You know, I've been faithful. We've been doing this or doing that. I deserve that. Now, thirdly, notice anger because I got caught in some wrongdoing. You know why I get upset? It's not because of the sin. It's because I got caught doing it, right? I got caught. I got pulled over. No, I didn't get pulled over. I haven't been pulled over, praise the Lord, in a while. And thank God for that. But when I did get pulled, I thought, now I wasn't upset. Oh, Lord, forgive me for speeding. Why was I upset? Because I got caught, you know. I mean, why in the world would anyone drive 45 miles an hour? But anyways, isn't that true, though, in life? Notice the fourth one, angry. Well, because I am suspicious of others' motives. Now, this comes back to fantasy and fake and fraudulent thinking. Well, they're doing that because they're mad at me, or they think they're better than me. No, they're not. We can't judge people's motives. Remember, Jesus said that. We judge righteous judgment. Now, this one can quickly lead to hating your brother without a cause. Notice Matthew 5:22. Go there. Matthew 5:22. Quickly leading us to hating a brother without a cause. Well, he says what? I say unto you, that whosoever, thank you, is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Now, it gives reference to those things and clarifies we can be in great danger without any cause. We just hate people, hateful, calling people names, you know, throwing people, trashing them when they're not around. What is it? We got to be careful about that. Now, that's wrong anger. Notice, though, secondly, letter B, there is anger that is right. Now, it comes directly, it comes because of actual wrongs. There, I can say it right. So, first of all, notice someone may lie about you, or they may steal from you, or they may steal from someone you love, or hurt someone you love. Now, let me say, we ought to be angry about certain things. You know, I get real nervous when a so-called Christian or child of God isn't angry at abortion, And they're not angry at the same-sex marriage and stuff like that. Now, listen, you don't go out and maybe blast it and upset everyone around you, but you may not have that kind of a disposition. And that may not be the right way to approach things. We got to use caution and love and grace and all that. But we got to be angry about it. I'm upset about that. I mean, you got to be angry at these drug pushers and all of these stuff that they get. Right now, I could probably, and I shouldn't say I could probably, in our little town that we live in, within probably an hour, I could probably have any drug I want. I mean, you just call around people. Hey, do you know anybody that sells this? You know, I don't know if that's accurate, but you know what I mean. I mean, you could really do that. You got to be angry at that. You got to be angry about certain things. Okay, so there's a righteous anger. Somebody hurts you, lies about you, steals from you. Secondly, under that, someone is unfaithful to you or cheats you, or someone cheats on someone you love. That'll anger you. They're unfaithful, untrue. By the way, we got to be faithful to each other, right? Faithful to our friends, faithful to our church, fellow church members, brothers, sisters. Be faithful. Stand up for each other. Somebody badmouths you or badmouths the church or badmouths somebody you love, you got to stand up for them. Hey, don't do that. I don't start a fight, but I don't appreciate that. You ought to stand for those things. Thirdly, someone refuses to allow you what is rightfully yours. Okay, rightfully yours. I was talking to a dear old lady one time years ago, and her son was living with her, and he was a deadbeat, and he took advantage of her. And she was telling me all of this, you know, oh, Pastor Tim, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And I talked to her, this poor little old lady. And he was such a deadbeat, you know, took advantage, stole her money, and made her work, you know, made her get, got her benefits and stuff. And he had no job. He was just all that. And it angered me as a friend. You know, you're like, man, just I want to go over there and let him have it. You know, how can you take advantage of your 80-year-old mother like that? Those kinds of things are righteous anger, right? We know that. Now, fourthly, some authority maybe abuses that authority over you. Again, never should any kind of thing of sinfulness in a church or an organization or a family be swept under the rug like so many are. That'll be exposed and brought out. But so many times, I don't know, maybe some of you had an authority figure over you that ended up hurting you in some way, betraying you, unfaithful, whatever the case is. So we know there's sin that's wrong or anger that causes wrong. It's sinful. There's anger that's right. If someone has sinned against you, the anger you feel toward them is right. However, or how you respond to that offense determines, again, you know, if you've sinned. Okay, am I right to be angry? Well, secondly, let's look at, am I responding to the anger in the right way? Now, when you and I feel angry, we need to evaluate the cause of the anger. Now, remember this, we should treat the cause, not the symptom. And that's true. In America today, we're treating the symptoms of deviant behavior. We're treating the symptoms. Well, they're that way because of this. They grew up to like someone of the same gender because of this. We're treating the symptom, not the cause. The cause is sin, right? The cause is that the home has been broken down. There's no faithful fathers. There's no spiritual men in the home. And the home has just fallen apart. That's one of them. The cause, though, if the anger is inappropriate, we should deal with it accordingly. Go to God, confess your selfishness, and ask Him to forgive you for being angry without a legitimate cause. If the anger is appropriate, express it in the right manner and deal with the situation correctly. Well, letter A, notice the wrong response to anger that is justified. You and I, we can blow up and try to get even or seek revenge. Notice Leviticus 19:18, going all the way back to the beginning. It says this, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Now remember that great command. Jesus reiterates it in the New Testament. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy heart, all thy mind. Everything you have in you, love the Lord, and then, and thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says this, all the other commandments hang on that. Those two, basically. If you can do that, love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself, you ain't got to deal with the other commandments. They'll just come right in place. They'll fall right in place. Now, this is something. There's wrong response to anger. We can blow up. Romans 12:16. Notice this one. Now, this is a little bit more detailed, but notice what Paul says here. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, for recompense to no man evil for evil. provide things honest in sight of all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you. And I like how he puts that. As much, if it's possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. What's he saying? You can't live peaceably with everybody. There are some people you just want to, you know, God bless you. Okay, you just want to, Lord, help me around this person. And Paul is practical. Paul is not it's not unrealistic. He's practical. Okay, he continues, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that should be the motto of every Christian, as easy, so easy to say, very difficult to live. Overcome the evil with good. Now again, we're not doing it in a vindictive way. Some people misuse this verse. Say, oh, I'm going to heap coals of fire on their head. I'm just going to do good on them, and it's going to irritate them and bother them. That's not what he's saying. You know that. We are fulfilling the command. We're fulfilling the way the Lord wants it put out. And the Lord left us the supreme example. You know that. Two, you can bury it and add it to your pent-up anger list. Pent-up anger comes from unresolved conflicts. Pent-up anger causes a hot temper. It's like a volcano that erupts from time to time. Proverbs 29:22, again, we read it, but it says, an angry man stirreth up strife. He's always stirring up strife everywhere he goes. That strife follows him. A furious man, furious, abounds in transgression. You may know this, but some doctors believe the leading cause of death in the world is pent-up anger. That's stress and strain, unresolved conflicts, isn't it? So frustrated and angry at everybody and everything around us. That's true. That's very true. And you can look some of that up. Letter B, the correct response to anger that is justified. Okay, now look at this one. Well, one, admit you are angry. Appropriate anger, again, is not wrong. We talked about. Two, talk to God about it. Frankly, forgive the offense. Again, easy to say, difficult. Notice Ephesians 4:32 here. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even, here's our supreme example, here's the test, here's the standard, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Has he forgiven you? Yeah. So many things, hasn't he? So many vile, nasty, disgusting things we've done or thought or been, we think about all the sin. And he says, remember this, friends, Christ has forgiven you. If he's done that, you can with others. Thirdly, if necessary, maybe talk to the offender in order to be reconciled. Again, I go to Matthew 18:15. This is a great, great text for us to remember and remind. We should go to them from time to time if it's necessary. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Remember that. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So the first step in it is what? Go tell him alone. Don't blab it. Don't blast it to everybody. You go right to him. Hey, brother, I want to let you know you irritated me. You offended me when you said that, or whatever the case is. And then reconcile it. And two Christian brothers, two Christian sisters will quickly reconcile. We know that. And so we know. When we do our part to resolve the conflict, we can enjoy peace. God takes away the anger, gives us compassion. By the way, we're going to look at this in the next, Lord willing, few weeks or so. But peace is one of the characteristics of a child of God. It's not the peace of the world. Remember what Jesus said? I leave you, or I give you peace. Not as the world gives it, give I unto you, but as I give it. It's different. See, it's a different peace. There's a different thing about it. There's a feel. Some people look for a high. You know, I want a high in this. I want to feel good all the time. Well, God will give you something like that. It's called peace. It's joy. It's contentment. You're feeling good about it. Not that you're in tip-top shape or everything's right in place, but no matter the circumstances, you have peace in God. Okay. Now, then thirdly, notice, well, how can I avoid wrong anger? What can I do? Well, let's look at the Bible. We must learn to love God's law. I love Psalm 119. Now again, Psalm 119, thank you. Longest, if you will, chapter in the Bible. Amazing chapter, isn't it? You read through it and you find all kinds of little gold nuggets in there you just pull out. Now this is one of them. Notice, great peace have they, well, who? Which love thy law. and nothing shall offend them. Well, I want that, don't you? I don't have that yet. Boy, I'd love to have that. But notice, great peace. When we love the law of God. Now remember, he's speaking directly about the word. We've got to be in the book. When we love God's law and learn God's law and learn what he says and how he says it, what he wants us to do, we follow his principles, his precepts, his commands, his directives, all of those things that are in the Bible, there is something about it. We have great peace. And nothing shall offend us. We're not so quickly offended. Letter B, we must learn to keep our eyes on him. Another great verse in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Some of you may have memorized this verse before. What's it say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Well, who's that? Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I love that, don't you? You'll keep him in perfect peace. Now, that word perfect, you know this, I always have to clarify, doesn't mean without fault or sinless. What's it mean? Completed. There's a complete peace. It's not a half-hearted peace. It's not a peace, okay, but still I'm longing for that. No, it's a complete peace we have in Christ. Isn't that great? And we keep our mind on him, again, Romans 12, talking about the renewed mind, because he trusted in the Philippians 4, 6, I'm sure you know it well as well. He says, be careful for nothing. That's worry, that's fret, that's fear, that's anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful truth. We must keep our eyes on God. We must learn to love God's word. Letter C, we must get our eyes off the world. Psalm 37:1 talks a little bit about this, but keeping our eyes off the world. We got to keep focused on Christ. We get too sidetracked on worldly things, too sidetracked on stuff that doesn't matter, a hill of beans in all of eternity. You ever think about some things that you do or buy or say or go? It don't matter. It doesn't matter an ounce when I step out of this world into eternity. It doesn't matter. Who cares? And you think about it, we get our eyes off the world and get back to him. Notice several of these verses here. 1 Timothy 6, though, 6. But godliness with contentment, great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. And it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Those are the needs. But they that will be rich, that is a desire to be rich, fall into temptation. What's a temptation? Well, to drift from God, get our eyes off of him, and a snare. That's a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. If we could talk to five celebrities or famous athletes or somebody tonight, just get an interview, and Brother Anakin put it up on the screen. If we could get, you think about just a couple of athletes or well-known music artists or somebody, you know what they'd tell us? They fell into a lot of foolish and hurtful lusts. They're lusting after money, after women, after men, after all these things. And they're miserable. And you look at them and go, man, I wish I could have that money. I wish I had that fame, fortune, and all those things, and all that power they have. They don't have any power. They're puppets. Hollywood controls them. You know, the whatever organization they're part of controls them, and they do whatever they tell them to do. But notice what it, as he continues, which drown men in destruction and perdition. It literally drowns people. They can't breathe. It's up over them. I can't control my life. I don't know what to do. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I said it many times, but you literally shoot yourself in the foot. Right? You know, I mean, you're hurting yourself when you have a love for money. And it's truly the root of all evil. What are we doing? Getting our eyes off the world and back on the Lord. God will take care of you. God will take care of your needs. Letter D, we must learn then to speak soft words by speaking God's wisdom and applying it. Now, our first message in this was discernment. We've got to have discernment about us. That's deciphering between right and wrong. That's deciphering God's will and my will. Okay, how do I have, what is that? That's some kind of gift. No, it's a characteristic of a child of God. How do we get it? We spend time in Scripture and obviously time in prayer with the Lord. We'll notice Proverbs 15:1. He says what? Soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And we know that. Okay. Those of you that are married. Okay. We know that. Soft answer may turn it away. And when you try that, it's very difficult to do, but to work at that. Proverbs 15:18. Again, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Many verses. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. I had a friend one time, and boy, he was that kind of a fella. He was kind of a passive guy, but boy, he wouldn't get upset at anything. I mean, he was real low key and everything. And I started to look at him and I thought, man, what is wrong with you, man? Aren't you upset at that? Aren't you mad? No, everything's good, man. You know, now there was some help, okay? He had a little help, but and I thought, man, what is wrong with you? You're not upset at that. Okay. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. It is his glory to pass over transgression. Man, you haven't gotten there yet? It's a glory. You enjoy it. Man, it's a glory for me. Pass over that. Matthew 5:9. I love it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see shall be called the children of God. You identify as the children of God. People say, oh, yeah, they must be the Lord's children. You're associated with them somehow. I can tell. I can see it. I know it. Okay? So a couple things here, and we'll close it out. But we must learn to speak soft words by seeking God's wisdom and applying it. One, we can have God's wisdom if we simply ask. Well, James 1 tells us that. He says, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. He says, I'll give you all the wisdom you want. If you just ask, do you ask for it? Lord, give me wisdom and direction. Help me today. Guide my mouth. Guide my reactions. Help me and lead me and direct me. Give me your wisdom, Lord. I love the story of Solomon. You know it. Solomon came and he said, Lord, would you please give me that wisdom? Would you give me understanding? Would you give me knowledge? Because I don't know how to deal with these people. I've never even stood in front of people and told them what to do. Everyone that knows that I've taken the throne, they're laughing. Because Solomon was kind of that quiet, introverted brother in the back. Now, not his other brother that had tried to ascend the throne. Other brothers in front of him tried to ascend the throne. You know, Absalom, Adonijah, those guys, they tried to come in and take over. They were more of a David type, right? But Solomon was real quiet, introverted, kind of in the back. He says, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Lord gave him all above that, didn't he? Secondly, we can enjoy peace as we apply God's wisdom. We read that. Certainly, we must learn how to properly deal with our anger, for it, for this pleases God. For Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Pleasing the Lord, pleasing the Lord. We must also realize that God, to some, is an angry God. They see him that way. We must know how to deal with his anger. His anger is always right. It always is always justified, is the only satisfied when justice is meted out. That's true. Now, that's what we're saying. People see God as all an angry God. Well, we clarify to them who he is, what kind of anger it is. It's always just, and it's always right anger. Now, they are sinners, really. God judges the righteous, Psalm 7:11, and he's angry with the wicked every day. They're sinners in the hands of an angry God. So the only place of safety is in Jesus Christ, where his justice has been satisfied. Now, for us, as we reach people with the gospel, that's what we're clarifying to them. Listen, you're abiding under the wrath of God, okay? He's not going to just such a good, soft-hearted person when everyone gets to heaven and they knock on the pearly gates that, okay, come on in. That's not how it goes, right? We know that. There is justice that must be done, and he will take care of his business. God's desire, as we reach people, we show them that. Yes, he's angry at the wicked. Oh, but he is so full of love, isn't he? Compassion and grace. We are so unworthy. And how much anger should be towards us as sinners, towards me as a sinful person. But God's grace is sufficient. And Peter says he giveth more grace. The grace we need, he gives it to us. So again, just something for us to chew on tonight. But think about, okay, where are we at in our Christian characteristics? Are we living out the way we should? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we applying the Word of God? And now again, all of this is very easy to say, hard to do. And it's difficult. Kids, when you have to deal with your siblings, right? When you've got to deal with things like that. It can be very frustrating when you're dealing with other people, when you're dealing with certain situations like that. And what can we do? I had a fellow, I was trying to counsel him and his wife, and they were having a lot of problems, a lot of issues. And he said, she makes me so angry. And he was mad. And she spoke up and interrupted him, you know. And I said, hang on a second. Most of that, I just sit there and referee. That's all I do. Hang on a second now. He was so angry, though. And I said, now you got to calm down. And I read to him, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And he said, man, I never heard that before. I said, you should try it. It might work. Might work. There is anger in all of us, and we know that. It's so easy to come up out, and especially if you were brought up in a certain way where that was exposed a lot and used a lot. But we can, by God's grace, we can walk in an angry world, can't we? Angry world, and we can live for Christ and live for Him. All right. Lord, we thank you for, again, another message tonight. I pray that you would help us to apply it. Lord, something that is a challenge to many people. And Lord, I pray for your strength and wisdom as we go forward. And no doubt the adversary wants to get us discouraged and frustrated. He wants that to come out. He wants things to go on that, Lord, are not becoming, are not glorifying to you. Strengthen us in that. Thank you for your grace, and your word is so sweet. Your word is so clear. We praise you. Help us now as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.